God, I thank you for this privilege to stand before your people. Lord, you know what's on the paper, but it means nothing without the power of the Holy Spirit. Bring it alive. May it touch somebody's heart. Fill me with your Spirit. People will not see Jackson, but they will see Jesus. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me. Cleanse me. That your word may come forth. For life is in the word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I did go to United Nations on Thursday. It's a beautiful day. There were about maybe 10 pastors. There were Muslims and Christians. And we were out there praying across the street at the United Nations from 12 to 12:45. The word. Minister West read it from Genesis 9 and from 1 Corinthians 11. We'll talk about the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper, sometimes called the Eucharist, sometimes called Holy Communion. The Lord's Supper is sometimes very misunderstood, and we don't always know what the Lord's Supper means. We gather around this table and we enter into worship by invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, many of us, we've had some great invitations. Some of you have been invited to the White House, some of you have been invited to the governor's house and whatever house, but I guarantee you, you've never had an invitation like this invitation to the Lord's table. And in this invitation, some of us feel unworthy to accept the invitation. Some of us feel that we've been invited to the Lord's table, and should I take communion or should I not take communion? And I want to say to you, if you feel like you are worthy to take communion, you probably shouldn't. But if you feel like somehow you are unworthy to sit at this table, you probably should. And the Lord very often speaks to us by word and in pictures. And that's why I wanted to read that scripture in Genesis, where the Lord makes a covenant with his people. And you know, early on in Genesis, the people has been so bad and so sinful. You know about Adam and Eve and how they ate from the tree, and they sinned, and God got tired of their sins, and he decided he was going to destroy all of the earth. He sent a flood with the exception of Noah, and he sent a flood to destroy everybody except Noah and his family. Y'all do remember that in the Bible, right? But then after that, in Genesis 9, God says, I will not destroy the earth again with a flood. He made a promise, he made a covenant that he would not destroy the earth with a flood again. How many of you know that sometimes when we read the word, we forget about it? How many, I like reading novels, and you know, I'm reading a great novel right now. If you want to know what the novel is, you see me at the church, but I'm reading a great novel, but you know, and I'm almost three quarters done, but you know, I'm older now, and sometimes I forgot. I've only been reading it for about 3 days, and sometimes I've forgotten what's in the first three quarters of the book. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But in the Bible, God makes promises to us, and he says, I'm not going to destroy the earth again with a flood, but he knew us, so he decided to put a rainbow in the sky. as a reminder of his promise. How many of you remember your grandmother or your mother, whenever a rainbow came up in the sky, they'd come out and say, hey, come and look at the rainbow. Anybody's grandmother used to do that? And the idea was to remind us of a promise that God had made to us. How many of you know that sometimes a picture speaks louder than 1,000 words? Just one picture. And so when you and I still, when I go outside after a terrible storm and you look up, and I said this morning, I've been around the world. It seems to me there ain't no storm like a South Carolina storm. But if there's another one, probably it's a Texas storm. But when you look up in the sky and you see a rainbow, it's a reminder that God has made a promise. How many of you know he's faithful to his word? If he promises you, you can count on it. It may not come when you want it to come, but God is faithful to his word. And so in this text, God very often gives us a visual sign of a promise of his mercy. And in some ways, we are learning that God has given us two wonderful promises in the New Testament. He's made us a promise related to baptism, and he's made us a promise related to the Lord's Supper. He promised us. How many of you know that baptism is about a washing? We got some stuff on the inside of us that needs to be washed. Do I have a witness in the house? We're looking all good on the outside, but we got some stuff on the inside. Now, you can stay in that bathroom washing with any kind of soap in the world, but it does not get down on the inside. There's some stuff in us that it takes the blood to wash. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. And so baptism shows us a picture of what God has already said in his word. And not only does baptism, but the Lord's Supper. You and I need a washing, but we also need to be fed. Once you wash all that stuff out of the inside, you had a spiritual cleansing. You look at somebody and say, I need a spiritual cleansing every now and then. And then once it's been washed out, I need to fill it with the word of God. Do I have a witness in the house? And so The Lord's Supper is about what you're gonna fill up on. Now you know, ain't no sense in washing yourself clean and then going and fill it up on some junk. So the word says the Lord's Supper, and the Lord's Supper, like the rainbow, the Lord's Supper is God's way of visually reinforcing our minds and hearts to the promises of Jesus Christ. The rainbow does not stop the rain, but the rainbow is a sign that God has mercifully stopped the rain. How many of you know that the Lord sustains us? And if justice had been done, if judgment had been performed, if we would get all that we are guilty of, that we wouldn't be here right now. But I don't always think about the Lord spared my life. But every now and then when I think back on what could have been, I thank God that judgment was not performed. Look at somebody and say, if judgment had been performed, I might be in jail right now. If judgment had been performed, I might be dead right now. If judgment had been performed, I might be divorced right now. If judgment had been performed, I might be in the hospital right now. But God stopped it. His mercy prevented what could have been. Look at somebody and say, what could have been? Jesus stopped it. And I just want to thank him for stopping judgment in my life. Anybody know that judgment? You know, when you go, you and I go to court, we want justice for everybody else. But when it's you and your kids, we want mercy. Do I have a witness in the house? And when it's your kids, you run into the pastor, you run into the lawyer, you run into, Lord, I know he's guilty, but he's my boy. But thanks be to God that God doesn't always give us judgment and what we should have, but he stops it. Could have been dead and in my grave, but he could have been in jail, but he could have been outdoors, but he could have been almost out of my mind, but he, thanks be to God for his mercy. Don't have a whole lot of money, but I'm grateful for the favor of God. Don't have a whole lot that I can bring into his house, but I've got a praise in here today. He stopped what could have been. Oh, thanks be to God. It could have been worse than it is, but because of his favor, he stopped it. And that's what the rainbow is about. That anytime you see a rainbow up in the air, up in the sky, it's saying that he could have let the rain keep flowing, but he stopped. And the same thing when you come into the communion table and the bread is there, you know that if it had not been for the Lord and his goodness and his mercy, you and I would still be lost. But he stopped it. He stopped our downward trend and he turned us around in the midst of our mess. And he stopped what could have been and he gave us a second chance. And that's why when we come into the house, we ought to praise him every now and then, because he stopped. What could have been? Can't nobody stop it like Jesus. When he shuts a door, nobody can open the door. And when he opens the door, nobody can shut the door. He stopped it. And he is plenteous in mercy. So when we come into church on first Sunday, on communion Sunday, you know, a picture is, God knew that sometimes, how many of you know sometimes we forget his goodness? We take his goodness for granted. Every now and then you come into church on Sunday morning and they got a communion table already prepared. And he speaks with a picture. He didn't have to say nothing. You just come in and you just, and I said this morning, sometimes I see these big bully guy, not bully, these big, heavy, strong men coming in. Don't never cry. Rough, tough. Big guys like John over there. Don't nothing make them nervous. Strong brothers. But they come in on communion Sunday. And nobody has to say a word. They just look at the bread and the wine, and their minds begin to remember what could have been. And all of a sudden, you see these tough guys. You know, we don't cry like y'all do. Y'all, we don't be doing all this dabbing and stuff. But when you think about what could have been and how God stopped it, it makes tough guys look back over their lives and say, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I don't cry all the time, but every now and then it makes me tremble. The word of God every now and then makes you tremble. Do I have a witness in the house? You don't have to say much, because God gives you a picture. When you come in here and you see this broken bread and you recognize that Jesus switched places with you, that you and I was guilty, and he took our sins and gave us his peace. Look at somebody say, that's shouting time. When you recognize that we were lost, and that God sent his son to die for us, that we would have a second chance, and he gives us forgiveness. He gives us his broken body that we might be made whole again. He pours out his blood that we might have everlasting life again. He made a way that we could rise again. Look at somebody and say, I'm glad I can rise again. So, I want to make this communion real. When you and I come to the communion table, we ought to come recognizing five things. The first thing, when you come to the communion table, you ought to look back. It says, When you come, he said, do this in what? In remembrance of me. There ain't nothing like a Christian who forgets everything. There ain't nothing like a Christian with amnesia. That you think that you got all that you got because of your smartness. Look at somebody and say, somebody prayed for me. Had me on their mind. And when I come to the communion table, the first thing I ought to do when I come to this table is look back and think about what could have been. And I thank God that somebody prayed for me. Second thing, when you come to this table, you ought to look within. Bible says, let a man, and I'm going to, and woman, examine yourself. And you know how we are. When we come to the communion table, we want to examine everybody else. We want to examine everybody else's business. You know that's a shame. You know he's doing this and she's doing that. Mind your business and look in the mirror at your own life. It says, let a man or a woman examine yourself. Not your neighbor, not your mama, not your daddy. Examine yourself. Now, I've been out of school a long time. But I do know this. Anytime you go to an exam, they're going to ask you some questions. Now, I appreciate the way God grades. How many of you know he grades pass-fail? Because the best of us, if God was grading on a numerical scale, the best of us would get a 69 and a half. That's still fail. But grace, look at somebody say grace. It's got me covered. He grades on a curve. And because of grace, I am who I do I have one with. Because of mercy, I got a passing grade. When you come to this table, you ought to come asking a couple questions. First question you ought to ask is, are you still believing? Do you believe that he died for your sins? Do you believe that he rose again? Do you believe that he forgives your sins? And the other question is, do you believe it today, not 50 years ago? Not did you believe he died 20 years ago? Do you believe today? How many of you know that we need new mercies every day? Not new mercies from 30 years ago, but new mercies today. And the second thing we ought to ask is, are you still repenting? Believing and repenting is a lifelong process. You just don't repent for something 30 years ago. You got to keep on repenting. How many of you know that stuff that you said you're going to give up, you got to keep it before the Lord anyhow, because sometimes you take 2 steps forward and 5 steps backwards. Anybody in here know what I'm talking about? So, you know, when you come to this table, you got to repent over and over again. And if you believe him, you ought to take the bread and the wine. But if you don't, you ought to leave it alone. And if you repenting, you ought to take the bread and the wine. But if you don't, you ought to leave it alone. So if you come to this table, the first thing you got to do is look back. Second thing you got to do is what? Look within. Look at somebody. Look within. Examine yourself. And the third thing you have to do is look up. You got to look up. Because there's some things in your life that you can't handle because of your education. You can't handle because you're connected to the governor or the president or the mayor. You can't handle because your mom and your dad has been great for you. Every now and then, you got to look up and get the divine hookup. Look at somebody say, look up and get hooked up. You got to get hooked up with Christ. Because he can bring you through. So as you come into this place, as you come into this table, you are messed up on the inside. You're addicted on the inside. You're confused on the inside. You're lost on the inside. You need to look up. Don't look to Jackson. Look to Jesus. He will carry you through. And then, not only do you need to look up, you need to look around. You know, there's nothing worse than a Christian who's always so holy, they're just looking up. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus. And here somebody is right next to them, starving to death, and they're just praising the Lord. You need to look around. And you need to pray for somebody sitting next to you. In church, you come to this table, you've looked up, you've looked in, you've looked back. You need to look around. That's why we have benevolence ministry, so that we can be a blessing to those in the world. That's why we look, that's why we pray for people in the pew. I was standing outside this morning. I like standing outside in the summertime. I see people come from the west and the east and north and the south. How many of you know you cannot judge how somebody looks on the outside as to what's going on the inside? I mean, I got people came. I mean, they look like they had an oil well in the backyard. People start sharing just outside. Just standing outside, just a few minutes. I said, well, you know, I haven't had an easy life. Somebody else says, you know, I just pray that I get my job back. I had a stroke, and I just want to get my job back. And so what I'm trying to tell you is, once you get the hook up, once you look up, please, sir, please, ma'am, look around and encourage somebody. Pray for somebody. Pray for somebody. Tell somebody, I got a feeling everything is going to be. For God's sake, open your eyes to the need. Or open your ears that you might hear what people are going through. Everybody doesn't have it easy just like you have it. You and I have got to look around. Open your eyes. Open your mind. And for God's sake, open your heart. Then, when you come to this table, the other thing about looking around is, it's not Jackson's table, it's God's table. It's a table of diversity. Everybody's welcome at this table. Hoodlums are welcome at this table. Drug addicts are welcome. Prostitutes. Gamblers, people that you don't like, people that you can't stand, your ex-husband, your ex-wife, they are welcome at the table. The table is where the dividing line separates blacks and whites, Republicans, Democrats, rich, poor, young, old, we're all welcome at the table, because it's not your table, it's not my table, it's God's table. Whosoever will, let him or her. We need a place. We need a place where the walls come down. And that place is God. Then we look up, we look around, and then we must look forward. He says, when I come, he says, I'm coming back again. Look at somebody, say, he's coming back. Keep believing till I come back. Keep trusting, keep singing, keep praying, keep serving, keep reaching out. Until I come back again. I'm coming back again. I know you look back, but don't get stuck looking back. You got to look ahead. What I've done is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. And so when you come to this table, I want you to remember that I saved you and I bought you with a price, and that I love you so much that I died for you. I want you to see this picture that you are worth my death. There's some people who don't feel like they're worth much. Some people who've been down so long. Some people have been hurt. Some people have been in relationships. They've never had a good relationship. And they keep on making the same old mistake. They keep marrying the same kind of joker or the same kind of jokette every single time. And they don't feel like happiness is possible. I want you to look ahead. God is still in the blessing business. Keep faithful. Keep believing. When you come to this table, know that there's a place at this table. Know that you're welcome to this table. I talked about this morning, you know, sometimes on Mother's Day and other special anniversary days when the kids graduate from college or special day when they became 21 or whatever it is, we take them to these fancy restaurants. Fancy restaurants, they got so much stuff on the table. I don't know which fork to use. They got a salad fork, a cake fork. They got wine glasses. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. They got water glasses. They got two or three knives. They got wonderful linen. They sit you by a nice window looking out. Anybody ever been to one of those restaurants? And I don't know how. I'm a country boy. Look at somebody and say, he's a country boy. I don't know how to act. And then since I'm the man in the house, especially on those days, you know, when you go to these fancy restaurants, you know it's gonna cost a lot of money. You know, I can't take Barbara on Mother's Day to McDonald's. I've learned, brothers, let me give you a hint. I've learned. Not on Mother's Day. And there have been times when I've gone to these fancy restaurants, I was praying that there was enough on the card to cover it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But this table, it's a simple table. I'm glad it's not a complicated table. All you got to do is accept him as your Lord and your Savior and believe that he forgives you of your sins, and you can approach this table. Whether you are poor, rich, black, or white, you are welcome at the table. And the good part is he paid it all. He paid it all. On Calvary, way back on Calvary, he paid the price. Hallelujah. You don't have to worry about it. He paid it all.
I don't know how you feel. You know, there have been times when I said it. I guess my favorite restaurant is the Chart House. I like it. And I like the atmosphere. Food is good. Thing about the Chart House is you got to keep on paying. Every time you go, you want to sit at the Chart House? That's why I like the arena so much. But you know what? Your salvation and my salvation is expensive. Do I have a witness in the house?
I'm worth something. I might not be worth anything to you, but to Christ. Whatever your sins, old prostitute may not be worth much to somebody else, but to Christ. Old drug addict may not be worth something to somebody else, but to Christ. old liar, old cheat may not be worth anything to somebody else but to Christ. He loved you and I while we were yet in our sins, and he was willing to pay a price for us. Thanks be to God. He died for your sins and my sins while we were yet in our sins. He gave his all. God sent his only begotten son to die on a cross to win us back into a right relationship with him. Hallelujah. And he paid one time. And it was good enough for you and for me. That's why when you come in here to this table, you ought to shout every now and then. When you see this table, the preacher ought not have to say a word. When you think about it, and you look at that broken body, and that grape juice or that wine, every now and then you ought to just fall out. Saying, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. All thanks be to God for his grace. I don't know how you feel. Sometimes when I come into the communion table, sometimes I don't even feel worthy. How about you? Sometimes I feel like, you know, and I've been pastoring for almost 40 years, 8.5 years in Elmira and 30 years here, studying in seminary. But the thing about this table is you're only welcome if you feel unworthy. If you come in here talking about, oh, hey, I'm Deacon so-and-so. I'm Reverend Dr. Jackson. And I have matriculated at Colgate Rochester Divinity School. God smiles and says, so what? You can't earn your salvation. I died for you. There's nothing you can do to buy your way into heaven. I died for you when you are wretch. Undone. And that's why I want you to know that I love you when you were unlovable, and I gave you a new life when you couldn't stand yourself and your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. My brothers and my sisters, the Lord's table for God's people.